Join us as Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll teaches us how to strengthen our relationship with God through His Holy Word.
In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, is where God meets a need in the lives of all of humanity. And let's read that verse together. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Hopefully you've got this memorized. But there it says, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. As we look at this scripture passage, there's a lot of things we can get from this. So I'm going to spend 2 weeks on this verse, maybe three, and see what we can get from it. But there are certain things that we know for a fact. And fact number one is that the event that is described here, that where God sent His Son into the world to die for sinners, that is a historical fact. And we can look into the past and we can get all the evidence and accumulate the evidence. And most individuals would say, Jesus lived, and Jesus came into the world, and Jesus died. There's very little argument in that area. So it's a historical fact. If you want more information on that, read 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and Paul there, he goes into details how Jesus came into the world, how people can believe, and as a result of this historical fact and how it was a historical necessity. And all this that if you that it made possible for humanity to have a relationship with God. God met a need as a result of an act. But also, we, as you study this, you'll find out the theological significance of it. And the theological significance of it is because we needed this event to take place in order for God to meet a need that we had in our life. We were all sinners. How many of you know that this morning? Even the person that you know that is the nicest person in the world, that person is a sinner. And I remember downstairs one time we were asking the question, who is the nicest person in the church? And someone mentioned some names down there who they thought were the nicest person in the church. And I want you to know that nicest person in the church was a sinner, right? Romans 3:23, we're all familiar with that. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So no matter how nice you are, no matter how good you are, you have a need, and God met that need in His Son Jesus on a cross one day, which is a historical act and a theological necessity. Now, as we look at this verse this morning, there are several things that we can think about whenever we focus in on this. And the first thing is that we think about is the fact that He died. The fact that Jesus was on a cross dying over 2,000 years ago. Now, if you think about that for a moment, you have to understand that that's a marvel in itself, that this individual was on a cross dying, because what He would have had to have done, being God, He had to take upon Himself flesh first in order to be in a position to die. So as we think about that, we would marvel at that. Now, look with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, says there in verse 9, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, and we're going to read 9 and 14. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should take death for every man. See it again. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should take death for every man. Now, verse 14 says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also likewise Himself took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil. So whenever you think about the marvel here, there are several things we would actually say and make a comment about. Is number one is that he could even die in the first place. He was God on the cross that day dying. Now we think, well, if he could die, then the other marvel would be that he should die. Why would he die being God? And if we say, well, that's a marvel in itself, then we'd have to ask ourselves, why would he die being God? And then the fourth thing would be, is the marvel of it all is that he did die on that cross that day for a specific reason and purpose. Not necessarily for himself, but for those that he came to seek and to save, you and me. And the result of this event, because God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, because of this event, we can have a relationship with an eternal God. Not only that, but we can also tell everyone around us that we do have this relationship. Not only do we have the relationship, but they also can have this relationship with God. Hopefully, you know who God is. You've experienced that personal relationship with him. And that's something we'll talk about as we move through this in the next week or next 2 weeks, as to how we have a personal relationship in our life, and it makes a difference in us, and it'll make a difference in those around us. So the first thing we think about is that the fact that he died on a cross. The second thing we think about is where he died. Man, I know this is something that we could really talk about interestingly. Where do you think you'd like to die at? How would you think you'd like to die? I know most of you would say, well, and I know we probably have had this discussion somewhere in the past. But most of us say, well, if I'm going to die, I'd like to die in my sleep. That way I won't know anything about it. I got news for you. You're going to know a little bit about it, okay? Because if you die in your sleep, you're still going to wake up on the other side. But I can tell you this morning ways I know that I will not die, because I'm a chicken. And there's things that I don't do. I won't ever be eaten by a shark. I don't get into water that much. I remember my daughter-in-law went down to Florida. Actually, went to Aruba. I think I've told this story, but they went to Aruba. And they were on this boat, and they're out in the middle of the ocean. My son was telling us how clear that water is down there. He said it looks like it's like you can see the bottom of the ocean there. And he said it looks like it's only a few feet down, but he said it's way down there. And anyhow, even though my daughter-in-law, she thinks she's a mermaid, she loves water, she hates sharks, and she won't get in the water. And so they're down in Aruba, and while they're there on the boat, the captain and my son actually tells my daughter-in-law, says, well, there's no sharks down here in Aruba, and everybody can get in the water. Down here, it's okay, it's safe. And so while they were there, the captain, he said, Captain, tell her, said, of the boat, he said, tell her there is no sharks in Aruba. And the captain, he's thinking, you know, I'll play along with this. So they begin to tell my daughter-in-law there's no sharks in Aruba. And so she gets the courage. She jumps into the water, and they're swimming around in the water. And how many of you know that there are sharks in Aruba? It's the ocean. And so they swim around there a couple of hours in the water, no sharks, didn't see any. They get back in the boat and they're going back to shore. And they get to talking about, and the captain thought they was all a big joke, kind of kidding around. And he thought she actually was part of the kidding. And so he tells them, said, you know, there's really sharks here in the water. And my daughter-in-law, sharks? I've been in this water for 2 hours and there's sharks. So I just know ways I'm not going to die. And I know a way she'll not die, because she'll never go back in the water again. But if you can think about this for a moment, think about the fact that he died, and think about the fact as to where he died, on Calvary Mountain there. In that place, I could not imagine the gloominess of it. People had died there. Criminals had died there. And he was placed there with criminals on a cross to die there. And it's the God of glory that came down to this earth to walk up Calvary's mountain carrying his own cross and die there, being nailed to a cross to die in that place. Now, I cannot imagine being in a situation like that, being God, and allowing somebody to nail my hands to a tree and then nail my feet to a tree and my hanging there in that situation with all the people walking around mocking and making fun of him as he hung there. And then it said that the thief, not the thief, but those that were there with him was at the bottom of the cross looking up and waiting for him to die, but not only waiting, but mocking him. So now we look at this scripture passage where it says, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is a marvelous event that took place in human history, that God would allow himself to be put in a position to take the abuse of humanity, those that he created, in order to meet a need that they had. Isn't that something? You and I cannot imagine it. Now think about the death that he died. I think we already touched that a little bit. If you think about the death that he died, crucifixion, the most shameful death that you could imagine. Karen and I was talking about it this week, and as we were talking, one of the questions came up is that, and of all the pictures that they paint of Christ hanging on the cross there, they always show him covered with whatever, a tunic or something covered. I'm not sure if that's the way they did this or not. I'd have to do a little bit more investigating in that area to find out. But some I have read, and I've heard people say that he actually was hanging there naked up on the cross. But my thing would be this, and as we were talking about it, as we were having our discussion about Christ hanging on the cross there, I would think that, you know, the way that he was clothed would be the last thing on his mind because of all the other things that was taking place there as he was hanging on that cross with his hands being nailed to the cross, the nails to his feet, all the shameful remarks being made to that person that was on the cross, who is God. But not only that, how he was exposed to all the events that was taking place and all the insults and everything. It was just been totally humiliating to be in a position like that. And that was the goal. And there he is, God hanging on a tree. Now, it's amazing of some of the things that he said while he was hanging there. As he was looking down on the ground at those who was mocking him and making fun of him and putting him through such a humiliating event, he would look up to the heaven and he'd say, Father, forgive them. Not me. That wouldn't have been me. Thank God it wasn't me. Thank God it was God on the cross that day, meeting a need that you and I had. Not only did he meet our need through that event, but by meeting the needs that we had in our life, he made it possible for us to be able to reach out and meet the needs of those in the lives of other people. God, that day on the cross. Notice again, if you would, that verse, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now here it is, sometimes, now, we think about someone who is put to death. We think, well, a lot of times we think that they might be worthy of death. I know someone just recently was executed. I don't know who it was, and I don't know which state it was in, but the individual chose to be executed by the firing squad. Not me. I don't think I'd care to go that way either. But here it is that Christ is on the cross, and we say, well, here it is, God is on the cross. And then when we think about the event that took place, we'd have to say, well, not only dealing with the place that he died, but how about the way that he died? How many of you like to be crucified unjustly for something you never even did? How do you like to be persecuted unjustly for something you never did? I tell you what, sometimes if somebody accuses, and I've been accused of stuff, and I know you have too. Normally, if somebody accuses us of something that is false, then the first thing we do is our dander gets up a little bit. I didn't do that. Don't you accuse me of that. Well, here it is. God himself is on a cross dying. And as he's dying on that cross, he is dying unjustly. Not only is he dying unjustly, but he had been betrayed by all of his friends in the event of this, leading up to that. There he was. He had Judas, who was there at the dinner table with him, which we'll see in the play in the week ahead. There was Judas on the, there betraying him at this time. But not only was he betrayed, he was bullied. Remember in school whenever you used to get bullied? I was always getting bullied in school. Not whenever I got up into high school, because I was in grade school and stuff, like I was just a skinny little fellow. And these guys who had a lot of weight on me, they bullied me. And I remember after I got up a little bit older, I put on a little bit of weight. And thanks to Sue, I'm starting to lose it. I got up to 237 pounds. And I tell you what, I dare anyone to try to bully me at that size. Especially some skinny guy, you know what I mean? But here it is, when we read this scripture and we understand the way that Christ died on that cross. He was bullied. Could you imagine that? God being bullied by his own creation? It's a miracle in itself. It's hard to comprehend something like this, that he would be willing to do that. But whenever you really stop and think about that, it's just like John 3:16 would say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What motivated him to do this? Love. He loved his creation. But he's being bullied. The Bible says that his beard was plucked out. If you stop and think about this for a moment, the event that took place leading up to him being nailed to that cross, you get the event is where the soldiers, where Christ would have been bullied, is they would walk up to him. Sometimes we think, well, they were real easy on him. How many of you ever have seen that movie, The Passion? One time, I watched that one time, and I have that movie, and I thought several times, I'm going to get that back out and watch it again, but I can't, and I haven't. But I remember when we, as a church group, went to see that, I was sitting back in the back with everyone. And I remember I was watching the event that was taking place in front of me on that film. I was thinking, he did this for me. And as I was watching it, tears began to run down my face. I'm thinking, I cannot imagine God doing this for me. So that demonstrates how much he truly loved me. It demonstrated how much he truly loved you. And as a result of that, it should be that we should love others also. One person one time asked the question, can you give me a definition of the word love? And as you think about it, the only way you can give a definition for love is action. For God so loved the world that he gave. It's an action. If we say we love someone, if we say we love God, it involves an action, doing something. And as a result of God loving the world, as a result of God loving us, we say we love the world and those that are lost in the world, we want to meet the need. It requires an action. And so here it is, Christ on the cross, crucified for you and me, brutally whipped, bullied, mocked, nailed, and he did not commit one single crime. Now, that guy who got shot and chose to be shot, I'm not saying I don't know that much about him, but as a result of the events and the things he did, maybe he deserved what he got. You know, those two thieves that's on the cross beside him that day, how many of you know that both of them were mocking him and making fun of him? If you study the scriptures, you'll find out that both of them mocked him. And finally, one of them come to the realization, this is something unique about this individual on this cross. And then he finally looked at him. He said, remember me whenever you come into your kingdom. He said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Me, if I was on the cross like that, I'm not sure if I'd be thinking about other people. I'd be thinking more about me as I was there on that cross. He did. Again, looking down, Father, forgive them. Today you will be with me in paradise. He did this to meet the need, and he was totally innocent. Think again about the things we just said, about he died, how Christ died. And then stop and think in your mind just for a moment. Think about this just for a second. Now, I won't have you close your eyes or anything, but just think for a second. This really happened. It's an event that took place. It really happened. Sometimes whenever we have these dreams, we think, did that really happen? This was a dream. Or sometimes we argue and debate as certain events that might have happened or took place in the past. But this really happened. The fact that he died, he died. The place where he died there. The death that he died, it was real. These things, an event that took place, is a historical act that is a fact. He died for you, he died for me, and he died for the sins of the world. Last week, whenever Joe's wife was singing, she sang a beautiful song and dealing with the tree that he was nailed to. And as she was singing that song about him being nailed to a tree, she said something like this. She said, here it is, the creator of the universe, the one who made the very tree that he would be crucified on, was being crucified for my sins and your sins. Now, we say, it's real. If we say it's real, then we have to understand that he did it for a reason. And to look through this, we won't do it this morning, but as you look through this, you find out that it brings you to a point where you have to say, this is something that is personal. He was there for you. Galatians 3:20 says, For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet it's not I that live, but Christ who lived and died for me. And the life which I now live, I live for his glory, for him. Why? Because he died for me on that cross. Why? Because God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, one last thing, maybe think about this for a moment. Think about him. Whenever you go to John chapter 1, don't go there, but it says that Christ in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it talked about how everything was made by him. And then you go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So we'd say that he that built the pillars of the universe hung there on a tree for you and for me. A disfigured corpse dying in your place and my place. That's what took place here in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Us is a personal thing. You. We say he died for the sins of the world, but we say he died for us, brings it to you and for me. Why? Because he loved us, he saw a need, and he met the need. Amen? Stand with me as we close. Father, again, thank you for what you have done for us. Thank you, Father, for the work that you're working in your creation as a result of that event that took place years ago. We thank you, Father, that you offer salvation to everyone for you, but the word says, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. And why? Because of the event that took place on that cross that day, you're sending your son into the world to die for our sins, making it possible for us to know and to have a living and an everlasting relationship with you, not only here in this life, but in the life to come. Then, Father, we sing this song of invitation. It's for anyone that needs the altar for whatever reason. You be glorified, and we just thank you again in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You have just heard a message from Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll, Ohio. If you would like more information about starting a relationship or growing in your walk with the Lord, please visit our website at www.firstbaptist.life.